Well, good morning, everybody. This is the Techno Shaman Radio Log number 46, a journey through the theater of the absurd. And in background, oddly enough, some music going through some kind of theaters of absurd. Glenn Ness, latest kind of thing that he's dropped on my doorstep, and we're going to be talking about that in just a few minutes because Mr. Neff is here today. This is Tuesday, November 24th, 2018. And hey, welcome and thank you very much for listening, everyone. To
this is Saturday, December 1st.
What did I say? Tuesday? All right, that's right. I'm just checking if you're awake. Oh, that's right. All right, my heavens. That is cool. I had a flashback. I thought I was like in my old town.
Is that not working?
All right.
Let's try now.
Yeah, that now it's working.
It's working.
That's the one.
Okay. Well, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So welcome everybody. And it's not Tuesday.
So this is September 23, 1872.
This is December 1st. November. What did I say?
You said you said Tuesday among other things.
I know. I'm out of my mind. It's obvious. Well, thank you everyone for listening. I'm Ken Wolverton, the techno sadhu that drifted to the shadu, who finally became a shaman because I don't know what time it is or what day it is. And it's a sound journey we are going into. And you know what? Regularly, I was on Tuesday. That's where it happened there. I just pulled up one of my old.
You had a senior moment, Ken.
I had a senior.
Or not enough coffee.
Yeah, not.
It's very
not enough
possible
coffee.
Not enough coffee.
That's it. Well, I'm taking over Bette Williams' Saturday thing because she's off writing a book. She did the most entertaining show on this time slot for from the beginning. And she's concentrating her energy now on doing some other things. But here, the Techno Shaman Quartet is 2 hours divided into four places. 10 to 10:30 days. News according to me. Well, and that's going to be with Glenn Neff and I talking about some things. At 10:30 will be another episode from Joe Frank when he did his radio on KCRW in Santa Monica, California. And because of him is why I'm on the radio. He inspired me so much. At 11 a.m. will be Radio Theater of the Absurd and Audio Psychodrama, picking up from where, the crazy man, Santiago McBoyle, a survivor of the Miley massacre, one of the assassins who did the horrible deed, and him sitting in a psychiatrist's chair many years later under hypnosis, going through all kinds of weird psycho journeys in his mind. In the background, I'm going to play it again because I'm talking over it, but in the background is a very apt title song, and coming up is another Prompton's Rio, I think it says there, something like that. We'll get to it. Is music by Mr. Neff.
So to do a radio show, all you really have to do is get on and just go. But you can't say any of those words over there listed on the wall. But other than that, you just.
That's right. That's how we do it in professional radio, you see. So anyway, 11:30, that will be actually my inaugural journey of going up and down the streets of Madrid interviewing none other than the women of Madrid, who basically are really in charge of this village. It wasn't until I got started, Glenn, that I realized that this entire village, I would say more than 90% of it, like 95% of it, the shops are either run by or serviced by women.
Now, is it any coincidence that up at the graveyard, most of the men are buried up there that used to be married to these women?
There's a lot of men buried up there. All right. Well, you see, I have this microphone. I'm near that.
I'll show you what to do. There you go.
Oh, my God, this microphone. Every week, Glenn, I have been going on about this microphone. Well, first thing I kind of want to get to is I'm going to go back here at the moment, and I'm going to play this one again. which oddly enough is titled, and it's an aptly titled song, Last Song in Paradise. It's not just you just going in for cheap thrills here. You tell me a little bit, why is that title of this music?
Ken, yeah, I told you this the other day. Well, my sister Sandra lost her house up in Paradise in that great fire, one of the worst fires in the history of California. And I wrote this song 2 years ago when I was up there. I take my music stuff when I go visit. I actually helped her move down to Southern California a year ago. So she's okay. The house was totaled, but she's okay. But getting settlement with the insurance company now. But that was the last song that I wrote when I was staying at my sister's in Paradise 2 years ago. And the note of the song was Last Song in Paradise.
Right.
And that's the song right here.
Yeah. Well, and oddly enough, see, I was listening to it again the other day, and you know what? Those images that you see of Paradise all burn out, this music, it absolutely, it's desolate. It's lonely.
Yeah.
It's almost hallucinogenic in a sense of a nightmare that you don't want to see.
Yeah.
The music. It follows the string of video programs I've seen on of that weird fire. That the way. What's weird about why this music fits so well for me is the fact that there's one house that's perfectly normal, next to a house that's totally
most of them
out.
Got burned. There's a few standing.
Yeah, but driving down the main street of the town, it just like is weird because it doesn't look like it just looks like a spaceship, which like some people on the fringe are saying, oh yes, it was like laser energy guns from outer space that burnt Paradise.
Well,
but it almost looks that way.
I've been up there on and off for many years because my sister lived up there. And there had been at least a couple of fires on the times that I went up to visit in the area. One of the trips with Elian, actually, that might have been when I wrote this. There was a fire burning down below, and I took a photo of it, and you see the big red smoke down in the valley. So this area is, like, renowned for fires. And I guess what you could say is maybe you shouldn't be building houses in areas that have like big high trees that are very dry, but the climate is changing and it has affected it being drier and more prone, more possibility of burning.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, that's the end of this. My sister's not going back.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
she's gonna
she's
not gonna rebuild it. She's, 65, just retired. She just finished her teaching job. Had she still been teaching up there and this place burned down, it would have been a disaster. And my mom, if she'd been up there with my sister, who knows if they would have survived, because my mom is living with my sister still, 96-year-old mother, still living with my sister.
Yeah, I know.
So I moved them down a year ago down to San Marcos, California, so they're okay. And the insurance company will give them what they give them.
Right. Well, and the good thing is they got out without being physically hurt or,
and they got out crippled with their possessions.
Most
of their possessions, not all of them. Some of the instruments of my father and grandfather got burned to the ground, which is sad, but that's how it is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what a tragedy for all of those people, and I can't help but think about them, of course. This next piece of music, I'm looking at it, it says...
It's...
Pronter's Rio?
No. This is... Protons Riot.
Oh, Riot. Oh.
Protons Riot.
Which is another piece that you did that in Northern California?
No, this is an old piece that was renovated just actually last week. I added more to the track.
Right.
So it's
a piece in progress.
No, it's
done.
It's pretty much done.
All right.
And it's like it is what it is. It's ambient. It's Protons Riot. That's what it is. The riot of the protons.
I may stick it behind one of my stories here soon. All right. Well, that's an amazing thing. I want to divert for just a moment to actually go into contemporary news that was on the channel this morning. President H.W. Bush
I know.
Died last night, and I was talking with Lainey about it. This is the weird thing. For the second time in the last couple of years, I've said, I wish there was another Republican president like him in the office instead of what we have at the moment.
Would you like to read off the list on the wall over there to describe our president?
No, we can't say any
of
this.
We're not allowed to read that list on the wall.
We can't say any of this.
But I think all of those actually describe him very well.
He would be very happy to say all those words. He's very good at being uncharted, put it that way. He walks his own walk, I guess. But, you know, it's funny. I mean, there was all these great tributes and eulogies to the old Bush. And he was 94, so he had a good long run in life. And
he did.
You know, happy sailing there, Mr. Bush.
And he was civil.
He was a civil man, and hopefully this is what...
He had a sense of humor.
Yeah, he himself...
I don't think this current president, I can't remember his name, I forgot it off the top of my head, but I don't think he has a sense of humor.
He's not got a big sense of humor.
He doesn't seem to have a sense of humor, does he?
No.
I mean, I can't sense much of one.
No, the man is very serious.
When was the last joke you heard him tell? I'm not talking about the jokes we make about him in the cartoons, because he's one of the best subject matters for a cartoonist that exists.
Yeah, he's given the
but,
comedy shows.
Himself, I haven't heard him tell a good joke.
No,
he's the joke.
He's a serious man. You see, you're failing to understand. This man is serious. He's seriously serious.
I think the wallet.
Okay, well,
first of all,
who's that?
Are you? All right. So that what you do is you come in here and you record your show and sit back and... No. All right, we got some more background plops and poops.
That's Brian Eno, by the way.
I love Brian Eno. I have a piece of his artwork. Yeah.
Well, before we get into what I really have asked you here to do... this morning.
What did you ask me to do?
You want me to
open my wallet and contribute to KMRD.
That's right.
Yes,
that's
because
exactly right.
There's a fundraiser
happening. This is what Glenn and I talked about a few days ago, and actually we've been talking about it for quite a few months, because Glenn and Elian, we're going to go to Uzbekistan several months ago. You planned it a year ago or something like that.
Planned it about a year ago.
Yeah, and you've been talking about the whole time. And then over the months, we started talking about, and also it turned out I was going off to Oregon, Eastern Oregon, the same time, for approximately the same time, 5 weeks.
Yeah.
It turned out I had not planned it that way. It just turned out that way. So once I actually knew I was going to be gone for like 5 weeks, we thought, wouldn't it be interesting when we got back that, of course, you're an obsessive-compulsive kind of character.
Of course, you're not.
Well, you're worse than
you're
I
totally
am.
Well-adjusted.
You got to always be doing something. So, your journey, I asked you, I said, well, Glenn, are you going to be doing any of your watercolors and sketches and stuff? And you said, yeah, probably so. I said, well, I don't know what I'm doing, but listen, how about this? When you get back, why don't we do a slideshow, a presentation of your journey to Uzbekistan and my journey to Eastern Oregon, because they're really polar opposites of a tour in an American abroad, so to speak. Actually going abroad and me going back to countries that I departed years ago as a participant of that mindset. And anyway, over the course of the talking about, we thought, well, that would be a great thing to do, and where could we do it? So I thought, well, being most of my work is at the Holler, I'll talk to the proprietor of the Holler and see if he's into it. So just recently, I did talk to Josh and said, Josh, how about Glenn and I having an evening, and Elian, having an evening of a little tour through other countries, and... maybe put some artwork up on the wall. And Josh said, yeah, I'd love it. So this is what we've come to. As a fundraising technique, not only for our own pockets, really, but mainly for KMRD, because we have a huge rent that's going to be coming up. Well, huge in the fact that $1,000 a month to come from 600 people in this village is a big commitment. So Glenn, he generously offered to contribute if he sells anything. First of all, we don't know if we'll sell anything at all. But if we do, and I'm trying to get a little book together, a very kind of Black Christmas book that I'm currently drawing, that we're going to put those on sale. And should anything sell, 50% of what we sell will go to the KMRD fund for rent.
Sounds good to me.
And we are studying this also really as a challenge to other artists that live here in this community. Really, why put your money where your mouth is? Why don't you artists out there, or whoever that has a creative idea, selling cookies, selling pies, repairing shoes? If you got an idea and you can see a way of making some money on it for yourself, why not put 50% of it towards the KMRD fund, which allows people like Glenn and I to sit around and talk about nothing.
That's the essence of your radio show. No,
absolutely.
But it's about something. It's not just about nothing.
No, I'm serious. Always,
you make something out of nothing is what you do.
That's exactly right. And this is where we're taking it. So currently at the moment, because Glenn will be taking off at some time at Christmas, so tentatively, this will be announced at a later date, the actual date that we're going to have this opening. It's going to be kind of a pop-up art exhibition. Those of you are around will hear it, and please come. Watch, if nothing else, just watch the tour of a very enchanting land. Why don't you talk about that a little bit then, Glenn?
Well,
Uzbekistan and what you did.
First of all, okay, when are we going to do this? Because, you know...
We tentatively said the 16th of December.
That's Saturday, right?
That's Saturday.
Isn't Joe West doing a thing at Mary's Bar that night?
Possibly.
So we should do it maybe Sunday.
Maybe on the 17th?
We'll
announce that. Either the 16th or the 17th.
Yeah.
We'll try to do it so there's not a conflict with other artists.
Yeah.
And
basically what we will do is I'll put up a few paintings that I did there, little ones, a few photographs, and Ken will put up some, and they'll be for sale. 50% goes to KMRD, and we'll see how that works. And I won't tell you a whole lot about Uzbekistan at this time because I already talked about it with you on your show when I got back.
Yeah.
But during the presentation, it'd be great if we could do some of the music videos.
Sure, yeah.
And just talk a little bit. And, just keep it short and sweet, like a half an hour of talk and some video and some photos, and that's it. And that's just a short overview. And then you, in turn, will talk about your marvelous redneck family.
That's
and,
right. Well, oddly enough, see, I'm putting together a little 30-minute movie of... a lot of the photographs of the people and places and things that when I was there, plus me just basically talking over my video. So it's around a 30-minute thing. So anyway, the whole thing, less than an hour in the evening. And everyone, if you don't know Madrid, there's only two places open here at night. It's one of them.
But because if we do it on Sunday, we could pass a collection plate.
That's right.
That's the
Church of the Holler.
The Church of KMRD.
Church of KMRD.
Pass a collection plate.
Maybe that's how we should do that.
Yeah,
and, it will inspire other entrepreneurs of fundraising. Because fundraising is a thing that most of the public radio stations, community radio
all
stations have to do all the time. So why not make it fun, Because I see this as a fun thing for you and I. To share, that experience of travel and foreign intrigues, and burlesque dancers.
speaking of, why don't you dress like when you were on that geezer calendar? Just wear your jock strap and do the presentation. Nobody will walk in. They'll all turn around and walk out.
No, stop that, Glenn. You're getting way too carried away. No, really, seriously.
We said burlesque dancers.
Yeah. And I hope this is not a surprise to the staff of the KMRT.
That you were on the geezer calendar and jock strap?
No. Our own, intrepid, almost rebellious, almost kind of, out of the blue fundraising technique. technique to help KMRD.
Pop up. You call
pop,
it?
Our pop, our it's exhibition.
Like popcorn.
Yeah.
It's popcorn. Do you want butter on it or not?
Yeah, that's pop, question. Pop up art. Yeah, maybe we could encourage Josh to even have popcorn that night. That might work.
Sounds marvelous. Yeah. Josh has actually great food there, as we all know.
Anyway, so it'll be a good place. So that's coming up. Well, what else, Glenn? What else you got on the books in your life?
Well, I think we should mention that today is the Christmas parade at 4.
Oh,
and you're going to do it with me, I hope, right? You're going to show up at my house at 3.
Yeah.
We've got to do a dress rehearsal.
Oh, yeah, no, I've got my long red underwear. Yeah. I patched all the holes in specific places.
Ken is going to join me in the parade, and Eliana's going to be there, too, and we're going to just be silly. You know, the parade is a marvelous event for those of you that have never seen it. It's like 10 minutes of your life, and that's it. And if you don't get here in time to get a place to stand, to walk, to park, I mean, you know, there's many people that come into town and say, well, when's the parade happening? Oh, you just missed it. It already happened. You got to get here early.
Yeah.
You know, if you're listening to this and you're not from around here, you know, get here around no later than 3:30 and get your place along the side of the road.
Because
the road gets shut and you won't be able to drive into town.
Uh-huh.
And you better get a place.
Yeah.
You know, get here no later than 3:30.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Javelinda, I was talking to her yesterday. By the way, she's one of the participants of the Women of Madrid, which I'll be interviewing. But she was talking about yesterday, what's marvelous about our Christmas parade is it's never planned. Oh, we never have the slightest idea who is going to show up or how long it will last.
Yes.
It's
But I just don't want to be by the bagpipes. Other than that, everything's fine.
Or behind the yak. Behind the yak.
Or even the fire engine.
but
other than that, you know.
It's truly and absolutely eclectic happening of silliness because really every year it's been different. Whoever
Indeed.
Shows up, there's always a, you know, a core, hardcore of people that...
There's a hardcore group of Santas. There's a whole bunch of them that show up. Which is the real one? I don't know. That's a reality show. I don't know which one is a real Santa. There's a whole bunch of them.
And also, it has marginally grown because there was... I remember the first time I recorded it as only a participant in the sidelines. I think it was like 5.5 minutes long.
Yeah.
If you stood in the same place, it took 5.5 minutes.
We might be up to 10. I don't know.
Last year, I think it was 9 minutes and something.
Oh, nine. Well,
so we have progressed. That is, if you just stand in the same place, within 10 minutes, you'll have seen the entire parade.
That's right. That's right.
And then you can go and get on with your ordinary life just the way it's none of that like Macy stuff and New York
City.
What
do you mean it's not like the Macy stuff?
Well, I mean,
no,
you have
giant
to stand
balloons going down the street.
Yeah, where you stand around for hours and hours and hours in this cold, horrible, gloomy
New York. It's going to be cold
New York
and it might be gloomy too for all we know. So
well,
I don't know, man.
At the moment.
But anyway, there'll be lots of hot toddies at the shops.
Yeah.
There'll be places to go, have something to eat and drink to warm your Christmas spirit.
Yeah, and all the lights.
Please spend money in town to help support tourism.
That's right.
Which is the essence of the town of Madrid nowadays.
No kidding. Oh, totally.
I mean,
totally.
Other than you being on a calendar and a G-string, I can't think of anything else that makes money in this town.
That was a big seller. It really was. That was a really big seller. I remember walking into the mine shaft one evening when it was full of Japanese tourist women cackling at these old geezer's calendar. And I go, oh, I don't think we got that quite right. Now, we were really not meant to make a spectacle of ourselves.
A speckle. Being, I heard that.
Being laughed at. No, I mean, they kept turning the pages, and each page they laughed louder and louder. And I thought, well, I guess we had a hit there. Not the way we planned on it.
Well, I also, but perhaps it was Japanese women, you said?
That particularly. No, I discovered later on that almost any time I walked in and women were looking at the calendar, they were laughing.
They don't have that many of their men in their society that are older gentlemen pose semi-nude for calendars.
Natural. No,
but unless you're a sumo wrestler.
Unless you're a sushi.
Sumo wrestler,
Anyway, no, I'm not going to be posing in that. But we're just about got 3 minutes left here. I'm going to be going on to my series with Joe Frank. So, Glenn,
thanks, Ken.
We'll see you
at the 3 o'clock. Come on over to my place and we'll do our get it together.
Yeah, and I do encourage any of you out there who have never been down to Madrid for a Christmas parade and the lights. It's really one of the best.
It's actually a wonderful experience.
One of the best times just to see what this Looney Tune town is like and all the happiness and joy that we present to the world.
And just a footnote, in the old days of the Christmas parade, and I've been in them with Elian for many, many years, but in the old days, actually half the town was in the parade, so there weren't too many people watching it in the old days, but then we've become a little more popular now. But it's like half the town was in the parade and the other half was watching it. So, but it's changed now, yes.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. Well, Glenn, thanks
very
much.
Okay, thank you, Ken.
See you at 3 o'clock.
Bye-bye, buddy. See you later.
All right. Well, thanks so much. Thanks to Glenn and showing up here and talking about this little thing that we are up to in the next few weeks, a couple weeks, really. Boy, the 16th or 17th of December is not that far away. And it should be fun. For me, I think it will be a contrast of cultures, put it that way. Of seeing really vividly the imagery that Elian and Glenn captured through their videos and their photographs of the Georgia and Uzbekistan and another country they were in back over there. It's like really jumping into another age. But on the other hand, me going to Eastern Oregon off to cowboy, well, actually they don't call it cowboy, it's buckaroo country out there, is like another time as well, because in fact nothing really much has changed since I first was there in the mid 50s in Eastern Oregon. They're the same kind of people doing the same stuff they've always done, so it should be an interesting evening. As I say, it will be a fundraising attempt on two local artists, myself and Glenn Neff, to raise a little bit of money for the KMRD and our fund drive for future rents that we will be paying for our wonderful facilities we have here. All right, with that said, I am going to go to Mr. Joe Frank and what he is doing.
In adversity, against all odds, and finished yesterday in the ICU of a major hospital.